I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Griffith is here from Dog Nation. Let's talk about the Dogs in their next game, which is Miss State. They're on the road. And, Mike, it's good to have you on. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today. And let's start with the idea of this team playing a full, complete game, because that's something they haven't done. They've been great in the second half, but can they go up to Miss State and afford to be down again and put themselves in a situation where they're going to have to pull a game out late?
Yeah, that's a great question. When you look at Mississippi State, I mean, really – literally three plays away from being 8-1. I mean, and this is, it sounds bad, but the best 5-4 team in the country, really. I mean, these guys were up 17 on Texas. They had Tennessee pretty much beat. Vols needed a fourth down conversion to put that game into overtime. They were driving for the game-winning field goal against the Gators in the swamp and throw a pick late at the 29. I mean, this is a really capable, explosive team, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think Georgia's going to need a four-quarter game, and I think they're going to need a good start on the road in this noon kickoff.
We're talking with Mike Griffith here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mike, I mean, the good starts have really been the problem. They've only led against Kentucky at halftime this year in SEC play.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a product of just conservative play calling or what, but does Georgia want to try to open this thing up early? It's an 11 a.m. start. The cowbells will get loud. I mean, if they're trailing at halftime again, like how many more times can they pull a rabbit out of the hat?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kirby laughs every time we ask him about it and says, guys, it's not like we're trying to start slow. You know, it's interesting. You know, I think everyone would agree he's, you know, certainly the most accomplished coach in the nation, if not the best. And like you said, I mean, they've either trailed or been tied at halftime and 11 of the last 12 games against Power 4 teams. So this goes all the way back to last year, and I can't really put my finger on it. Now, you mentioned the Kentucky game. The one thing I will say, that was also a noon kick. So I think this team's going to respond on the road to an early kickoff. I feel like this team is built for that. I think this is a disciplined team. May not be the most talented that they've had, but they're certainly capable. And I think they realize they've got a challenge. And, look, this would be a really bad, bad loss to a non-conference team. As good as State is, they're still unranked. And you don't want to be in a position where everybody's measuring your two-loss resume against other teams with this college football playoff committee.
No doubt. What did you think of the rankings, by the way, this week with the college football playoff committee? Mike?
Well, it's predictable. You know, let's face it, they want Notre Dame in. They want Notre Dame in so bad. There's so much money with that gold dome. I mean, look, Notre Dame doesn't have the quality wins to be where they're at. We know that. And, you know, last time I checked, head-to-head was a pretty good metric, but there's Notre Dame at 10 and Miami at 18. Hey, Miami beat Notre Dame. Did the committee miss? Oh, well, that was earlier this year. Okay. All right. No recency bias there. Look, let's face it, if Notre Dame has two losses, they're going to get in over every other two-loss team, and that would include Georgia. So that was probably the biggest takeaway, is that Notre Dame just has to win out and not really have any quality wins, or great wins, I should say. I guess USC's a quality win. I think Illinois beat them too. But point of the matter is, that's the biggest takeaway, is that the committee loves Notre Dame. And also that the ACC, I mean, the fact that the ACC doesn't have any marquee wins outside the conference in, what, the playoffs or a New Year's Six Bowl, the Florida State win over Alabama, it's like it never happened because the Seminoles kind of took the gas pipe. So it hurts the conference bad. I think Georgia Tech's loss, that hurts the ACC as well. We'll see if the Yellow Jackets can win out and make the playoff. We'll see if Virginia can win out. Louisville, another team. Possibly Pitt. But right now, the ACC not looking real good, with Virginia being the highest-ranked team at number 14.
As far as the SEC is concerned, I mean, I think they get five in. I think that there's a world they need help. But, you know, if Texas splits with Georgia and A&M and wins one of those games, we get our first three-loss team in the playoff. Do you agree?
Well, you could see it. You know, I'm not going to speak too soon.
Talking.
Sure. you mentioned the scenario there in Texas A&M and how that would work out, and Georgia and Alabama and Ole Miss. I guess those would be the five.
We're talking with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation here. I think we're losing him a little bit. Oren going to try to get him back, or?
Yeah, we and Mike, hold on for us if you would, because we want to make sure that people get a chance to hear what you're saying, because I think, you know, he's laying out some really interesting scenarios when it comes to the college football playoff. Go ahead, Mike. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry about that. Just on some back roads driving back to Athens from Atlanta. I was saying I wouldn't put out Vandy. I mean, if Vandy wins out, they've already got three wins over ranked opponents. That would mean they would also beat Tennessee. So how about a two-loss Vanderbilt team? I would tell you that if Vandy wins out, I would make the argument that they would have a better resume than Notre Dame.
Let me ask you this question, because we talked about this yesterday. It's kind of funny how Florida seems to be a linchpin in all this, as far as how the committee is going to view that team. They played the toughest schedule in the country. Texas loses to them. But, you know, I mean, Georgia got pushed to the limit by them. You know, I mean, Florida's played some really tough games. They hung with A&M for about 2.5 quarters there. I mean, I'm just curious how you view Florida and the teams, if they pull off another win, and what their season has been like, if teams are going to look at Florida as a good win or a bad loss, or how they view it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Miami beat Florida pretty handily. You bring up that Texas loss, and if we're comparing Miami to Texas, one team beat Florida pretty handily, the other team lost. That's a good point. You know, I think Florida's biggest win is if they hire Lane Kiffin, and I believe they will. You know, I've talked to people that have said that Kiffin has interest, and, you know, nothing's official. I'm not breaking any news here by saying I think they'll hire him. It's just my feeling on it. I'm not reporting it, just to be clear, but I think you may have noticed a shift in the Las Vegas odds on Lane Kiffin going to Florida. So to me, as far as where they play a role in the playoff, I mean, hey, remember last year? They beat Lane Kiffin last year and knocked Ole Miss out of the playoff, and I don't think it's completely out of the question. I know it's going to sound crazy. I don't think it's completely out of the question to think that Florida could win out. I thought they played really well, and that was the healthy version of DJ Lagway is pretty darn scary.
I agree. By the way, what are we talking about? Because this is a conversation, Mike, that Zeno and I were having here on the show about these salaries. We were talking specifically about Brent Key after he made a statement saying, you know, cut me open, you'll see what I bleed, and we were talking about maybe his opportunities. What do you think salary-wise we're talking about to get Lane to come from Ole Miss, if that is to happen? What's Florida paying him, 12, 13?
Yeah, well, those numbers sound good. I mean, I don't know. I mean, gosh, it seems to me after you make so much money, it wouldn't matter anymore. But, you know, look, Jimmy Sexton is the best, doesn't it? I mean, really? I mean, how big a TV screen and, you know, private use of the jet? I mean, what else?
It's you know, this is the business Jimmy Sexton's in, and we don't begrudge him. I mean, this is what he does. He gets his guys paid, and, you know, I think Florida will pay a king's ransom. But just as important, and perhaps more important, is how much money will they give him to buy players? You know, we know that Ole Miss, and this is not a money deal, just to be clear. Ole Miss would probably go up to 13 or 14 million, I'm told. And, you know, he's got complete control there. I mean, there's nothing they wouldn't do to keep Lane Kiffin. If he takes the job, which, again, it's just my opinion that he will, it's going to be because his family wants to live in Florida. You know, this is a life decision, and Lane kind of tipped his hand when he said he wants to make a decision based on happiness. You know, that's probably why he's not looking at Baton Rouge. I mean, that's a competitive job, but, boy, that's a tough football town. I'll tell you, it's right there with Knoxville when it comes to pleasing the fans and the expectations. But to your point, I think probably 12, 13, 14, but more importantly, they got to have some money to buy players. They got to. Right. You're trying to outbid, you know, the Ohio States, the Texases of the world, the Texas Techs at the table now. There's some talk Baylor could be spending a little bit of money down the road here on a coach and some money and some NIL money. So, to me, that's the commitment that Lane Kiffin needs to get from Florida, is that they're going to put enough money in the coffer for him to be able to compete in that portal like he did at Ole Miss.
What about Brent Key, and why or why not has he not gotten an extension yet to this point, and what is it worth? I mean, you know, you have to believe he's going to be at least asked about his availability, regardless of what he said. Sure. I mean, the extension has to be in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 a year. I can't see it being anything shy of that. And do you think Georgia Tech, it's not that they don't have the funds, but can come up with the donors to sort of match the buyout on that contract? Because that's the other part with the extension that comes as a larger buyout. And so how do you foresee that whole thing going down?
Well, you know, I think Brent Key is, you know, kind of taking one for the team here. I mean, first of all, they're really fortunate that they made that hire. I remember when he was a candidate and I wrote that they should hire him, and there were people telling me about all these other coaches. I said, look, man, this guy played there. This guy coached under Saban. I mean, he's built for this. I mean, I think he beat Georgia, what, 3 out of 4 years as a player, if I'm not mistaken, and
that's right.
Team captain. So he understands it. He's done a remarkable job. I've got to think that, again, I'm sure they'll give him an extension. I'm sure it's being negotiated. But like everywhere else, I mean, they got to have money for players too. And does Georgia Tech want to stay at the big boy table? I mean, and what's Georgia Tech, let's be honest too, what's Georgia Tech going to be without Haynes King? Are they a one-trick wonder? Are they only, you know, is there going to be a next quarterback that can win like that? Can they keep Buster Faulkner? They got to pay him. I mean, if they want to stay at the big boy table, you know, you got to get another quarterback back there that can do this Haynes King magic, or you got to get a better supporting cast that can play defense. I mean, they haven't stopped NC State yet. That was an embarrassment. You know, I mean, let's face it, that was really bad Saturday night, guys. So they've got other things they need to do, but the thing is they've teased us now, and they've been a top 10 team. And I heard Brett Key, on the press conference saying, look, they don't want to be a one-hit wonder. They don't want to just be an occasional. Like, he's trying to build a championship-level program there. I don't know if Georgia Tech has the commitment to do that. We're going to find out, though, because you're right. He's a commodity, and this team has momentum. And if they don't jump through this window right now, there's no telling if they'll ever have this opportunity to have this kind of momentum again.
Mike, last thing for you. It's Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. Dogs win on Saturday. Is it a close game? Is it closer than we think? Because I think the line has moved today, as a matter of fact. What do you think?
Well, I think I saw it at 8.5 when it opened, and I've seen it at 7.5. What do you guys got it at now? I haven't looked in the last couple hours.
It's 9.5.
Okay, so there's people putting money on Georgia. It always scares me because Vegas is usually right. And what I mean by that is if more of the money is bet on Georgia, that means for the guys in Vegas to win, it needs to go the other way. I always try to go against that movement. But I do think Georgia is going to be ready. And I picked Florida to cover last week and kind of got – I don't want to say I got lucky, but let's face it, Gunnar Stockton kneeling at the one-yard line probably. You know, that could have been an 11-point game otherwise. I just feel like Georgia's going to sense the moment, and I'll say this too, and I don't want to upset anybody at Mississippi State, so cover your ears. But every time Mississippi State's got an opportunity to do something special, they remember their Mississippi State. And some teams can handle success better than others, and Mississippi State isn't one of those teams. So I feel like the moment's going to get to Mississippi State. I feel like Georgia's going to be dialed in, and I'm picking Georgia to win this game bigger than most people would expect.
Mike, tell the people where they can follow your stuff, man.
Yeah, well, we do the AJC.com. We've got a great sports website there, and then DogNation.com, of course. And you can follow me on Twitter and shoot me your opinions at our Twitter. Listen to me. At X, at Mike Griffith 32. A little behind the time here, guys. Sorry about that. Okay, Boomer.
We still call it that. It's all good, man. Hey, names change. It still works the same. Well, maybe not. Hey, Mike Griffith, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you, guys. Look forward to the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. You like Georgia, by the way? We give our official picks tomorrow on the show. But you like Georgia? I like Georgia this weekend.
I just mean, you're not getting me to lay 9.5 points on the road in conference play.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Not with your money. It's not happening. So, again, I still think Mississippi State. What I really like in that game, honestly, is the over.
Points will be scored.
57.5, yeah.
Points will be scored, no doubt.
Mississippi State defense is what you would call not good.
Well, Texas showed that by being down 17 in the fourth and coming back and beating them. Hey, want to remind you guys, Saturday, noon until 2, join Allie Mack at Carriage Key in Woodstock. Get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan's going to win the Ultimate Tailgate Kit. That's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand and other prizes. Plus, another winner's going to take home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, Saturday, noon to 2 at Carriage Key in Woodstock with Allie Mack and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay there. We're coming back. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.